All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Welcome, everybody. It is Wednesday. We got episode 22 of the Logos Academy. Please let me know that the audio is functioning well on Odyssey. Again, I know we have problems with that from time to time. So we're live on the Stu Peters Network. We're live on Odyssey, FTJ, Rumble, Twitter, the whole nine yards. Let's see. Oh, I'm missing two of my chats. Let's get those in there. Okay, Jag, we got Burton here. Hosnane, if I'm saying that right, would love to hear my lecture on Julius Evola. I'm not very well read on Evola. I read the first half of Revolt Against the Modern World. Beyond that, I'm really not well read on him, so I can't give any solid insights on him. I've a bit more study to do in that area. So, to kind of get us settled in, if you guys did not see, I was on Stu's show earlier today. We were promoting his documentary that's coming out this Sunday called Occupied. If you're not familiar with the documentary, lot of trailers on his Twitter account. Seems interesting from what I've seen so far. It's apparently supposed to be a very educational as well as a shock value documentary, kind of get people interested and involved. So make sure that you are following Stu on Twitter. That's where you guys can find the documentary. He's posting a lot of clips. I'm sure he'll also be posting a direct link to it once it comes out as well. It's coming out this Sunday, the 24th, so make sure that you guys share that with friends and family. That's the important piece here. We talked about that on the show a little bit, is that, you know, our main goal should be to share this to people that don't know what's going on. You know, obviously, someone like myself, who has basically dedicated all of my free time to studying the Jewish problem and all that entails that, I'm not exactly going to be learning, you know, hundreds of things in the documentary. There might be a couple things I don't know. But for the most part, this is something that you want the average person who's not, very knowledgeable on these ideas or not very serious about these ideas. That's who you want to see a documentary like this. So hopefully it delivers in the way that it's meant to. It seems like it will from what I've seen so far. A lot of very good feedback. He's getting a lot of, I think it's like one of the number, like one or two things on TikTok when you like type in the letters OC. He made a post about that. So that's good. It's great. You know, we really need to get this message out there. So, in all of its forms. So let's go into the schedule a little bit for this week. It's not a very active schedule this week. I have a lot on my plate. So obviously we're live right now. This is the first episode we've done this week. I was supposed to do a show on Monday. I was actually supposed to do this show on Monday, and I was having some tech problems. My internet, my Wi-Fi just kept going in and out. I don't know what the problem was. It cleared itself up naturally, so luckily I didn't have to figure it out on my own. As we know, I'm not capable of that. Tomorrow I have no show going on. We have two shows on Friday. Now, you're not going to get my usual Stu Peters Network show on Friday. Rather, I'm going to be live with G-Man at 1 o'clock, like I typically am. And I'm going to be live with Red Ice TV at 5 p.m. Eastern this coming Friday. One in the chat room, if you guys are familiar with Red Ice TV, two if you are not. One if you are, two if you are not. I see we got Coomerist, welcome. Thank you very much. We got Delta in here, Chaz, Kalima, if I'm saying that right. Got a lot of people in the Rumble chat today. Nice to see. Boiling Frogs in here. Hello. Yeah, it should be a good documentary from what I've seen so far. I'm definitely excited for it. We got Morris, Wrong Hands. It was made up. Welcome, folks. A lot of ones. Okay. School of Fish. Hello. Good to see you in live. That's nice. Sticks, welcome. Nick, hello. Okay, so most people know who Red Ice is. For those, I see a couple twos. For those who don't know who Red Ice is, they are, I would call them an alternative news media. They try to stick around like the news category. They very much touch on the Jewish question. I've seen them touch on some historical concepts and facts. But for the most part, they stick to modern news. They kind of keep people up to date with what's going on in the real world, right? Frederick, I did not find that out yet. I haven't spoke with them, like, verbally. I'll be speaking with them Friday. I'll probably ask them on the show out of curiosity. So what I'll post a link on my Twitter when I go live on Friday with them, so that if you guys are not familiar with their channels, you can catch it there. They're on Odyssey. I believe they stream on Twitter as well. I'll probably be posting the Odyssey link. So I'll make sure to promote it on Friday so that you guys can find it yourselves if you're not already following them. Diamant, welcome, welcome. Nice to see a lot of people in here today. Got Voodoo Ranger, Counter Signal, D. Williams, hello. They don't yet, D. Williams. I think they will. I think it's going to take a little bit of time. Maybe next time with a $3 super chat. Thank you, my friend. He says, woohoo, Red Ice. Congratulations, Zach. Yeah, I'm very excited for that. I have seen really nothing negative from them. You know, typically when you're in these scenes and you're around, you know, very political topics like this that can be very polarizing, you get a lot of people, someone says something negative about this guy or someone's got a problem with this guy. I really don't see that much with Red Ice. They kind of steer clear of any of those conflicts or anything like that. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a good show. Okay, welcome, welcome. Let some people fill into the chat, and then we'll pick up on the topic of today, which is art and culture, as you guys can tell by the title. We kind of brushed on this on our last show. I think it was our call-in show that we did on Saturday that we touched on this. I don't think it was... Actually, I think I did this with Nick. I think it was on Sunday. I think it was our most recent show on Sunday, actually. We were touching on art and culture a little bit. We talked about the Congress for Cultural Freedom. We're going to talk about that again today. I think that's a really important piece of this. And the subversive nature of it. Yeah, Red Ice is definitely a very very professional platform. So I'm excited to go on there. I have some more interviews coming up in the next coming weeks. I don't want to promote them yet because they are pretty far out. And you know, when you schedule things very far ahead, there's always get out of there. There's always a subject to change. You know, you never know if. Someone's schedule changes, or if they change their ideas that they have. So, I want to wait a little bit to promote those. But December should be an eventful month. We'll just say that much. We'll say that. I thought so, Nick. I thought so. Yeah. So that's the schedule for this week. Again, it's not a very eventful schedule. I might end up doing a call-in show Saturday since we didn't have a lot of shows this week, just to kind of get something going. We'll see about that. I'm not 100% sure yet. Just kind of depends on how things are rolling on my end of things. I have a lot of work I'm doing, like writing stuff. Again, more stuff that I want to wait to announce what exactly it is that I'm doing. And I want to make that announcement and then, you know, end up taking longer than I think it will or whatnot. Okay, well, with that being said, I guess we can get into the topic for today. Again, it's art and culture, and this is, you know, art is a really big thing, and I'm not an artist. I have absolutely zero artistic inclination. I'm actually extremely bad with art. I can't draw. I cannot paint. Some call like philosophy and art. So I guess if you want to get like, you know, really technical, I could kind of claim that. But for the most part, art is not anything that I'm anywhere near fluent or efficient in whatsoever. However, art is a very important piece of society, culturally, right? Art is it pertains to the spirit, and it's a very uplifting thing, whether you know it or not. You know, and I'm not a person myself who really is an admirer of art. As you can see, I've got a white wall, okay, and most of my walls look exactly like that in my house. I don't really have a lot of art. I don't really put art up. I'm not an art admirer. I view art in a very different sense. If you talk about, you know, philosophy as an art, that is something that is more artistic to me. I like the artistry in writing. I like when I'm reading, someone, you know, writes up a work, whether it's philosophical or poetic, whatnot. I'm not really big on poetics, but nonetheless, when they write up a work and there's other, you know, cultural or historical references in there that are kind of like somewhat hidden, but not at the same time, that to me is kind of the true essence of art for myself. Obviously, everybody has a different interpretation of what art is, not to be confused with the Jewish interpretations of art, which are, you know, disgusting. You get this like Dadaism and things like that, and we'll go into that as well. That will definitely be a piece that we touch on. I see we got Sticks with a $14 super chat on Rumble. Thank you, my friend. He says Red Ice is a big deal. Yeah, I've heard. I've certainly heard that. Again, I'm not. I don't watch them much. To be entire, well, I don't watch anybody. That's kind of a problem I have. Or maybe not a problem. Maybe it would be a problem if I was watching too much. I don't really watch a lot of live streams. I don't watch a lot of, you know, events or things like that. I just don't seem to have the time for it. Most of my free time, I'm, you know, doing my own work on the side, or I'm reading something. I don't consume a lot of content. So I just don't. I don't really get to catch much. I've seen a little bit of their content, and from what I've seen, it's very professional, it's very serious, it's honest, it's accurate, and those are things I admire in content, so. Yeah, I agree. Maybe next time says, if you produce content, you don't have time to watch others. Yeah, I totally agree. Control Mean Stick Man. Yeah, that's probably the best I could do myself. You said, I try to watch FBF every week from Red Ice. I don't know. I don't know what FBF is. It just goes to show how little I know. I don't know what FBF is, unfortunately. So, to kind of push on the topic of art a little bit, and then we'll calm down after, and we'll kind of go into the chats again. But I want to discuss art, because art is something that, again, as a person who doesn't really, I'm not a massive lover of art. Art itself is very important in society, and because it's all encompassing, it's a product of your culture. So, to bring the scales here, because this is also another problem that we have, is not a lot of people look at the world in this light. But we have to ask ourselves this question to start. Where does culture come from? And I guess maybe let's not make this a rhetorical question. Let's ask the chat rooms. For those that are in the chat listening, where do you believe that culture comes from? What is the origin of culture? There's a lot of different cultures on Earth, many different cultures. Where do cultures come from? for those listening, in your eyes? Okay. I'm liking that answer. Good, good. We have a lot of people. That's good. It seems we're very much on the same page, which is fantastic to see. A lot of people are saying culture comes from race, and this is absolutely true. So culture is, for one group of people, culture is a completely different thing than for another group of people. As an example, when you look at art, which is a product of culture in itself, there are certain art forms that appeal to one group of people and not another. As an example of that, if you have ever seen this, let me see if I can pull up some photos of it. This, like, African art, where it's, like, the long faces, and it's very colorless. Let's see if we can find, like, a good pictorial example here. Yeah, like, this is fucking perfect embodied. I literally just looked up the word African art, and it's already a perfect embodiment of what I'm talking about. Let's share my screen here. Okay, this is African art, all right? This thing on the left here, or right, for camera sake, whatever. I don't know how to do that. Okay, that thing, that way. With this long, elongated face, okay? It looks like its chin is resting on its genitalia. Okay, this is an art that... I guess we can call it art. In my eyes, this does not appeal to me. This does not interest me. In the same sense that when I look at India and the architecture in India, they have the big kind of like ball-like structure on the top of temples and different places of worship and even political buildings. These things don't appeal to me, right? Because they're not born of my people. They're not of my culture. I'm sure anybody in the chat room who is of European descent, for example... You can look back at ancient Rome, and I don't think any single person of European descent would ever make a case that the architecture or the art or culture that came from Rome was bad. Never seen anybody say, I don't like the way the Colosseum looks. I don't like the way that, you know, those ancient Roman statues look. They look odd. I've never heard anybody say that. Now, I've probably heard blacks say that, and they probably do think that, because it's not born of their people. It's not of their nature, right? So race produces cultures. Cultures produce art and, you know, their own morality system and things of the sort. Even moral compass, for example. Each culture creates their own moral compass. A really good example of this. In European culture, animals are very valuable as a product of nature. We treat animals very kindly. We recognize them as innocent creatures, innocent beings, and we care for them. We tend to them and make sure that they feel safe and comfortable. We don't want to hurt animals or hurt things that are innocent. When you look at these Asiatic cultures as a contrast to this, there's many of clips and things from China, Asia, these different places, where animals are essentially treated very poorly. They're just seen as food, as physically that's their only purpose of existence. So, you know, there's plenty of videos of, you know, dogs in cages, like little, you know, tiny cages where they can't even basically move in them. And these animals are tortured, they're eaten. Their culture does not treat animals in the same fashion that ours does. That's part of like a value system. So, which is also a product of culture. Morality and values are both a product of culture. So what we value is very important, right? As an example of this. In America, and it's hard because culture today is being heavily subverted. So we kind of lose track of that racial aspect once it's been so deeply subverted. But in America, we can see that black culture, for example, which everybody is, you know, somewhat familiar with as gang culture or ghetto culture or whatever you want to call it, there is a desire for violence, materialistic gain. These are things that are essentially contrary to the European spirit, right? The European ethos. When you look at our history and our philosophy, there has always been a deep reverence for the spiritual realm, things of the spirit, you know, things that are essentially anti-materialist. We have always been anti-materialistic in philosophy and in any kind of, you know, all the major thinkers of all of the eras of our people throughout history have always spoken against materialism as a false and fleeting ideal. There are some that have argued for it, but typically they are pretty swiftly and heavily refuted by some people that I would consider better philosophers. Even Nietzsche, as atheistic and worldly in the truest sense as he was against materialism. I see we got a subscriber through Loyals, if I'm saying that correctly. I'm not too familiar with the Rumble studio system, but Rav53 with a yearly subscription to the Stu Peters Network. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for subscribing to the network. I think that's how you view the documentary. I believe you subscribe. I'm not exactly sure. I'll have to ask Stu on the details on that so I can promote that a little more appropriately. Can we elaborate on that question? Longknife says, are you sure the culture isn't just reflecting the change in the racial makeup? Can you elaborate? I mean, maybe you don't need to elaborate that much further, but yeah, sure. To an extent, yes. I mean, there are people that are today are culturally Jewish and are not Jewish, are not related to Jews, don't have any marriages with Jews or even personal relationships with them, but they themselves are culturally Jewish. Culture. So, okay, let's maybe try to framework this in a different way. So let's say you have 15 people that are a tribe. Okay, in the ancient, the old times, they had tribes, right? Villages of tribes. Let's say you have a tribe, a village, and there's 15 people in this tribe. And those 15 people start to slowly, you know, formulate a name for their village, a language that they all speak together, and, you know, foods that they all make, which are all local to their area. Which is why, you know, culture is typically bound to soil for those reasons and a couple others. And now, after they have all these things, they have their own language, they have, you know, typical food recipes that are you know, for their people or because of their area and geography and things of the sort. They have their own kind of style of their architecture when they build their structures, you know. There's one thing that appeals to them, and then they teach it to their children, and their children teach it to theirs, and yada, yada, right? And as it goes on, and more generations are born, and the population grows, that becomes the recognized goal that everybody is trying to achieve in the realm of architecture. Same goes with art, and so on and so forth. That is how a culture is initially formed in that you know, little beginning piece. Now, for hundreds of years, inside of a That tribe would grow into a civilization, and that civilization has its own culture. So one of these civilizations was Rome. One of them was Greece. One of them was the Germanic tribes. They created Germany. And they have all these different cultures because each tribe, which has a different essential soul or spirit to it, has a different product of culture based on their geography, based on their own mental traits and attributes, based on their own skills, and all of these different factors. So they build these civilizations. And for all of history, or most of history, pre-industrial revolution, that is, these civilizations were very homogenous. They didn't, you know, go out and mix with others. They saw others as foreigners. They saw their cultures as something foreign. And that alien aspect to it, they didn't want to mix that into what they had going on with themselves because it would be detrimental and harmful to that original culture, that original foundation. And culture was shaped through a reverence of your ancestry, right? So, for instance, I'm sure many people, especially if you are 50 and up listening to this, in America, your family lineage used to matter a lot. You would be very careful about doing something that would harm the family name. And this is through all of history in Europe. There was always this deep reverence for your culture and your ancestry, right? And this was a big piece. So my last name is Kidd, right? So the Kidd family line, you would not do something that would harm that lineage, right? And, you know, certain family lines with their paternal ancestry had great achievements in them. And these slowly became the aristocracy or the nobility in society. These are where we get, you know, the kings and the rulers and whatnot. A lot of them are products of a family lineage that was very beneficial towards the tribe or the peoples. The people, not peoples. And now, after this Industrial Revolution that comes, when we're in the modern age, we're now in a different circumstance where culture is no longer shaped by your ancestry or your family or your neighbors or the people around you, especially when it becomes a multicultural society. If you live in a multicultural society, how can your culture be shaped by the people around you now? It's not possible because I'll give you a makeup of my neighborhood, which, by the way, when I was, you know, growing up as a child, was 80 to 90% white. Now, the person right across the street from me, it's a black family. On the corner, we have, you know, one white guy that lives by himself. We've got some Slavic people that live next to me. They're Christians. Then a little down the road here, we've got a Mexican family. Then we've got a black family next to them. Across the street from them, there's like a Muslim family. There's a set of Puerto Ricans that live over here. There's a black that lives here. There's an old white couple that lives in a house kind of connected to that. So how can your culture be shaped by those around you if all of them have different cultures? If one group, you know, is fervently Muslim and Arabic people, another group that is right next to me is white Christians, then my other neighbor over here is black, and they all have different cultures, they all speak different languages, they all have different worldviews and ideas as to what morality is, how can your culture be shaped by those around you? It can't. So multicultural societies, due to that exact essence, they lack community. They lack this cohesion that's necessary for harmony and happiness in a society on a psychological level. And this seeds itself even deeper when now, since you're cultureless, because all of the people around you have different cultures, okay? So it's very hard to keep like a strong culture. Some households are capable of doing this, and you'll actually notice some cultures are better than others. For an example, Italians are extremely good at keeping their culture pure. You ever go to an Italian pizza shop? If anybody here, One in the chat room, if you've been to an authentic Italian pizza shop. Two, if you have not. One, if you have. Two, if you haven't. I'm sure most people, if you live in America, you've been to an authentic Italian pizza shop. And I don't mean like, you know, Domino's or some Papa John's or some shit. I mean like a literal, you know, mom and pop Italian pizza shop. Not a fan of the chair in the background. Yeah, sorry. I'm always moving things around in here. Are people still having problems with the Rumble stream lagging? A couple people are saying that. Okay, we got some ones. Good. Yeah, so if you've been in an authentic Italian pizza shop, you know most of the time, all of the people that work there, it's a family. 9 times out of 10, and sometimes they'll hire some outsiders for extra labor. But for the most part, it's a family that owns the business. They pass it down to their child. Their child owns the same business, and their child owns it, and their child owns it, and they pass it down for generations and generations. And you'll notice when they talk to each other behind the counter, they speak fluent Italian with each other. They're very serious about their children marrying other Italians. And when their customers come in, they're polite, they speak English, and they change their, you know, their language to be adequate to the people around them, but they keep that culture very pure. That's very admirable. And you'll notice there are certain cultures that do a worse job at that. Unfortunately, you know, Irish, for example, or, you know, German is like half and half. There are some, you know, very small, like fragmented areas in America that have like deep German culture, but there's not very many. It's typically like, you know, very rural areas on the East Coast. Aside from that, there's really not a lot of like German epicenters. But, you know, even when you look at all the other nationalities or races, rather, that are non-European, they all come here and they keep their culture 100% pure. A great example. I live somewhat near a very, very, very Puerto Rican town. It was white 40 years ago, but they bust these people in like no other. And these people, in the matter of 2 or 3 decades, turned this town into a completely Puerto Rican epicenter. Everything is in Spanish. All of the advertisements, the street signs, the everything around is completely in Spanish. When you walk around this place, because you have to go to like the DMV or something, everybody speaks fucking Spanish. You're actually the minority now, because they keep their culture pure. Same with everybody knows about, you know, you go to New York or actually a lot of different states in the United States. They always have a Chinatown, right? And all these Chinese people, they have their culture very, very pure, very clear. They don't have a lot of other groups that are walking around Chinatown with them. They stick with their own, right? So all of these different examples, this is the nature of culture, okay? Now, the problem is when you are in a more multicultural society, which, by the way, it's only white neighborhoods that become multicultural. In case you don't know that, go to Section 8, it's mostly black. You go to, you know, very certain areas and it'll be like all Asian. You go to other areas and it's all Muslim. You go to other areas and it's all Hispanic. Now, the reason for whites losing that homogenous aspect is, you know, part of it is a detriment on their own part where they didn't care enough to keep that kind of culture pure. But a larger part is this is an intentional process that's been done through things like HUD, Housing and Development, welfare programs, Section 8, all these different programs which essentially force different cultural minorities into your area, right? Yeah, they're far worse in real life, radicalized. Far worse. So they come in and they're forced into your area, and then you slowly, again, you like my example, I lived in an all-white neighborhood. You know, an older couple passes away. Another couple moves. They get like a better job somewhere else. And in, I would say a decade, maybe less, about a decade, my entire neighborhood is a complete multicultural cesspool in just that amount of time. And now when you live in that area, there is no purity of culture. Therefore, there's no new culture. There's no culture to take in. So you have to take in the new culture, which is the modern culture. And that culture is being dictated to us by society, by the media, which is Jewish run, by, you know, social trends, which, you know, come from the media, which again is Jewish run. So they bring these more degenerative ideas as to what culture is. And now, because you have that lack of a homogeneous area and a lack of personal culture, you essentially become like an empty vessel that is looking for a new form of culture. And in the modern age, that culture now comes in the form of a political ideal, or I wouldn't necessarily call it a political ideal, but if you look at the typical leftist in America, that's pretty much their culture, right? Being a tranny, or hating racism, or all of these things. They're not cultural traits, they're not cultural aspects, but they're taking the place of that, okay? And then through that, the art is changing, right? Art is predominantly, especially if you live in, you know, a big city, art is predominantly being taken over by the left. Most artists are, you know, this anarchistic commie types and Antifa types. This is who's taking over the field of art today. And when you look in the big, like, mainstream art, it's a lot of Jews. A lot of Jews. Because art is not manual labor. Jews don't do manual labor. And they also can use this as an avenue for a lot of other things. Like, you know, you look at Mark Rothkowitz. He goes by Mark Rothko, but he was born Rothkowitz. He did the number 6 painting and many others. And he sells them for hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. It's a money laundering scheme on top of the fact that it's a subversion. And this goes into what we were discussing in the very beginning, or what we brought up in the very beginning, the Congress of Cultural Freedom. This was a organization that was founded by a group of Russian Jews who came from Russia with subversive intentions. And their claim was communism is evil, even though these Jews themselves were Trotskyists. They claimed that communism was evil in order to get on board with American sentiments and get on our good side, and that they needed the Congress for Cultural Freedom because over in those evil communist countries, they don't let you have freedom of expression through art. And this Congress of Cultural Freedom advocated for free expression in art. Well, the free expression they came with was Dada art, which, let's pull up some Dada art. Which is hideous and repulsive. Okay, let's try to blow this up a little bit here. Okay, let's look at this, whatever the fuck this is, on the side of my screen here. Okay, this piece. I don't even know if you can call it a piece. So I just looked up the word Dada art. Here we go. We got The Art Critic by Raoul Hausman. Let's look this fellow up. I'm willing to bet he will fit the bill. It's not saying what his racial background is. I think we could take a guess. So now, what's very interesting is, and you'll see this often when you look into Dada art and the people associated with it. They were as they call themselves, anti-Nazi, anti-fascist, right? Here's another good example of a Dada artist. Here we've got he goes by L. Lisitsky, but he was born Lazar Lisitsky. Okay, he's a Lithuanian Jew. So he started by making Yiddish children's books, and then he starts making Dada art. So you'll see this time and time again, and this art, okay, which is essentially looks like the news clippings of a fucking serial killer. It's got, you know, so here is a picture of a guy in a suit, and then there is crossed out stamp labels taped onto that, and some fucking triangle of something taped onto here. We've got another person's head taped on here with a shoe and a playing card. And, you know, who knows what the words in the background say. So, okay. This is what you see time and time again with this Dada art, okay? It's anarchistic. There's no symmetry in it. There's no true sense of beauty. Look, we got an article here. Top 10 Dada artists. And it's a fucking urinal with a name on it, okay? Here's more Dada art. This nonsense. Even the name itself is repulsive. More, like, whatever you want to call this thing. Okay, so it's a hideous form of art. And they pushed this through this Congress of Cultural Freedom. Now, the CIA actually co-opted this, which is really important if you don't know this. The CIA co-opted the Congress for Cultural Freedom, and they came out with what they called abstract art as a means, in their own words, as a means of psychological warfare. Okay? And what this is it's a breakdown of your culture. It's a destruction of your culture. So they destroy your culture by replacing it with something else. I don't know what you mean by that. Fuck off. I don't know what that means. Constitutional hippie, I don't know of any books on that piece particularly, no. So, this ugly, hideous, anarchistic, unsymmetrical, like, repulsive-looking art, this kills the spirit. Okay, this kills your, there's like a drive that you have with good art around you. I think Tucker Carlson, as much as I'm not huge on Tucker Carlson, he actually had a really good conversation about this on one of his shows. Strathmore, welcome, nice to see you. Where he talked about these big glass buildings in cities where, you know, you work in a cubicle 9 to 5. It is a soulless, like, there's no design, there's nothing beautiful to look at and admire throughout your day in the concrete jungle, right? It's death to the spirit, okay? And it is killing people inside. And a lot of people can't see it, and if you can't see it, then you don't know why. You think civilization sucks. Everybody thinks it sucks. They just don't know why. Most people don't know why. So art is a very important piece here for Jews to subvert when they get into your society. The first thing they try to do is subvert your art and your culture. Art is a product of the culture, right? So they subvert art because it's an easy one to do. They subvert other things as well, like your morality. They've done this through, you know, the subversion of the churches and things of the sort. And they subvert these different forms of culture and replace them with a new form of culture, which is, you know, this materialistic, very soulless form of culture that doesn't have a higher aspiration or a higher spirit to it. So holding a line and having a conviction in the field of art is something that's very rare in history, but it's very important. You very rarely see people stand up for art and say like, oh, you know, you're not taking my art, fuck you. But that is a very important piece that you have to keep pure. A really good example of the only person I would ever call a true American artist in like the realest sense of the word, Norman Rockwell. One in the chat, if you guys are familiar with Norman Rockwell. Two, if you are not. One, if you know who Norman Rockwell is. He was an artist in America. Two, if you don't know of his works at all. Billy, nice to see you. Thank you very much. I see. Yeah, that's a common thing that you get with this this Dada anarchistic art. This whole, you know, oh, it's abstract and you can really... You see the emotion in the blue, and you can see his anger in that streak of red. It's shut up. It's gay. It's so Jewish. Anyone that tells you something is just interpretable. I mean, come on, man. White on White, welcome. Haven't seen you in a bit either. How are you? Oh, wow. We get a lot of ones. Okay, that's good. It's good that many people know who Norman Rockwell is. Well, for those who aren't familiar, let's pull some stuff up. So now his art doesn't have a name to it, but when you see it, I'm sure most people will look at it and go, oh, wow, like I actually recognize some of that. Okay, so here's some art from Norman Rockwell. Okay, and it was American. It was that was the best way to describe Norman Rockwell's art. It had this very this is a beautiful one, you know, just an American Thanksgiving dinner. Ours to fight for, freedom from want, right? Here's another one, you know, all white, okay, all European peoples. They're dressed very nice. They're always happy. They're getting along with each other. This has a soul to it. Okay, there's a soul in this. I'm trying to find the one. It's one of my favorite paintings of all time. This one's very famous for those that are familiar with this one. You know, an old school American diner. Okay, and people were all, you know, dressed nice together. Yeah, I know. You know, Rockwell was not necessarily the best ideological proponent, unfortunately. That's a shame, but it is the truth of it. I don't know what the hell to look. I don't know the name of the photo or the art. Here, this one. It's called The Runaway. This is one of my favorite photos of all time. This piece. This just screams American culture, right? You can feel that this is truly American. You can't look at that and contribute it to any other civilization or people or group. There is a spirit to it, okay? And you know, there's not a lot of, you know, American artists that can depict the American spirit in that sense. Norman Rockwell did a very good job with that. And that's the essence of art. It's to depict what your culture is, what your people are, and give you a love for that want you to get you to want to aspire for that. I guess, I mean, even Rockwell itself, it's a very American name. Rebel Science with a $15 super chat. Thank you, my friend. He says, great topic. I hate Jewish art. It's designed to be subversive and contemptuous of white culture and civilization. Absolutely. It's antithetical to our forms of art, right? It's it's against nature. It's against harmony. It's against beauty. Again, what Jewish art do you ever see that's even symmetrical? Am I streaming on Stu's network as well? Yes, I am. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, except for this Friday, I'll be on Red Ice TV. Wow, is that true? Did Norman Rockwell really marry a Jew? Again, this is what they do. They take your cultural heads, your political heads, your financial heads, and they marry into it. It's a shame. So this is, by the way, how civilizations are conquered. When they conquer your culture, they conquer your spirit. You go away. So a really good example of this, and we were talking about this when Nick was on my show on Sunday, a really good example of this is ancient Rome. When they would go and they would, wage war with a neighboring tribe and try to take over that tribe, the first thing they would do, they would start to destroy their buildings. They would burn their villages down. They would destroy their statues, destroy their banners, right? They would destroy anything that was identifiable as that tribe or from that people. That way, if you're born from that tribe again, that history, that name of your people is gone forever. And that's what the Jews are doing actively. They're actively conquering us in real time. They're doing that concept of taking over a village and a tribe. That's what Jews are doing right now in your civilization. They're here, they're conquering, they are destroying your culture, they are replacing it with their own culture. They're taking your history and your identity, they're destroying that and replacing it with a new one. And as a humiliation ritual, they actually tend to do it with black people specifically. A really good example of this, they take down Thomas Jefferson statues and say he was a fucking racist or whatever dumb nonsense. And then instead, they replace his statues with, some Martin Luther King statue who was a communist Jewish puppet. And they replace him with this, what's that, George Floyd statue? It literally just looks like a massive fucking turd. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that. Maybe it wasn't the George Floyd statue. What the hell was it called? It just looks like a massive turd, like wrapping itself in a circle. Again, no symmetry, no character to it. Even the color is just dark and dreary. Yeah, on that note, what JQ Unity said, I do want to actually back that up. If you guys aren't using Brave Browser, I would highly recommend that you use Brave Browser. Brave is one of the very few that's not controlled by Jews. I see a lot of people are still using DuckDuckGo. That is owned by a Jew. So if you're still using DuckDuckGo, I'd recommend you don't. I have a terrible cold sore on my lip. It hurts to talk. It's driving me insane. Brave is owned by Jews as well. Are you sure about that? Yeah, that's not true. We have to be careful with false claims. He's not Jewish. And he's against faggotry. Brave runs on Chrome engine. Yeah, I can kind of see that by the layout. This guy said, look up great works of Jewish art. Yeah, why don't we do that? Sure. The first thing that comes up when I look up Jewish art is a fucking carcass. I'm not kidding. The very first thing when I look up Jewish art is a carcass. I wish I was exaggerating. I'm not. Let me just show you. I literally just looked up Jewish art and it's a carcass. Carcass of Beef by Chaim Sotin. You can't make this stuff up. It's not showing me a lot of modern art. It's showing me, like, older stuff. You know what a really good example is, actually? This, any art of Einstein. If you look at, like, art of Einstein, it's always in, like, weird, like, rainbow colors with all these weird, like, distortions on it and stuff. Let me look this up. It's just giving me stamps. That is one thing I actually kind of dislike about Brave Browser. Whenever you like look up like image searches, you get like really bad results that are like not what you're looking up. A lot of hippies like this whole Einstein thing. Constitutionalist Hippie says, if Lucas Gage or Myron Gaines from the Fresh and Fit podcast invited you on their show, would you go on and spread your important message? I watch and love both Myron and Lucas, so just wondering. Yeah, absolutely. I would spread the message anywhere. I have no quarrels. I probably wouldn't go on a Jews show and do it. I was going to say I would even go on a Jews show and do it. Probably not, though. They're just so, like, I just don't want to talk to them. I just don't have interest. I would never trust a Jew to, like, host a show in good faith. I think the best example of that, and I don't like the guy at all, but the best example of that is Steven Crowder. Steven Crowder had, like, some show set up with a Jew. He had it set up with Ethan Klein from H3H3. They were supposed to do like a debate. And, you know, they're off the air and Steven Crowder is recording the whole thing. They're off the air And, you know, Ethan Klein's all nice and he's like, oh, you know, how are your children and all this stuff. And he acts like he's his fucking best friend. And the second he hits the live button, the Jew fucking flips like that. And he gets this other Jew on and they start harassing him and making him look bad and shitting on the Roman Empire at the same time, unsurprisingly. So I probably wouldn't go on one of the... But yeah, I'd go on... I've actually had Lucas Gage on my show before. And I'd go on anybody's show. I'm not opposed to that at all. All right, folks, we are at the 1 hour mark. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a brief intermission. I'm actually going to put some like chapstick on this lip. It's driving me insane. It burns like a motherfucker. So we're going to take a brief little 5 minute intermission. When we come back, we'll pick back up with the chats a little bit, and maybe we'll hop back into the topic. I'm glad to see a lot of people are really interested in this topic. That's good to see. That's very good to see, actually, because it's a very important topic. I don't think a lot of people talk about art and culture and how much those things really matter. Really, JQ Unity. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, we all have to be networking with each other. We should all be supporting each other and kind of getting each other's names out there as best we can. Yeah, that Crowder versus Klein thing was the Jewiest thing I've ever seen in my life. All right, I will be right back, folks. Give me like 2 minutes. Just gonna do a brief intermission, and then we'll pick back up with the show for the last hour, and then we're gonna close it out. So I'll be right back. All right, folks, we are back. You're right. Not right now. You gotta give me about an hour. Not right now. Hopefully this chapstick helps. My lip is just, it's burning so bad. It's ridiculous. Okay, so we're coming up into the second hour of the show. My brain is everywhere right now. If you guys are tuning in and you don't already follow me on my other platforms, please make sure that you remember to do that. We are on Rumble. It's Logos Revealed I on Rumble. We're on Twitter or X, whatever you would prefer to call it. It is Logos Revealed I on there. We're on Odyssey at Logos Revealed, FTJ Media at Logos Revealed I on there as well. Or no, it's just Logos Revealed on there. I'm missing one. I'm definitely missing one. I don't remember which ones I said. I don't know. Make sure you're following me everywhere. We're on the Stu Peters Network every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. I also want to remind everybody for the schedule this week on Friday. We're going to do our typical show with G-Man at 1 p.m. Eastern, where we co-host. And then at 5 p.m. Eastern, we're not going to be doing our Stu Peters Network show at 4. Rather, at 5 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be going on Red Ice TV. I've been invited on by... I'm so bad with a pronunciation of different cultural names. Is it Lana or Lena? Like Lane-a, like a street lane, or Lan-a, like I'm going to mow my lawn. How do you say that? I definitely need to know before I have that show. Lana. Okay. Lana. Okay. Got it. I can do Heinrich. That's an easy name. Okay. Name pronunciations are always hard for me. Oh, it's not Heinrich. It's Henrik. Okay. See? All right. Goes to show how bad I am at this. Yeah, so we'll be going on Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Definitely excited for that. That should be a good show. I don't have anything else to promote this week. It's such a shame. I'm definitely slacking with the schedule this week, unfortunately. I've got so many projects in my mind at one time. And I also, if you are someone who has reached out to me, again, if you ever want to reach out to me personally, I have a Telegram, Logos Revealed. And you can also email me. It's logosrevealed88@gmail.com. But to be entirely honest with you, I have so many people that have reached out to me and I have not gotten back to. It's like, it's getting very hard to keep up with everybody. I'm not a technology guy. Like, as stated constantly, I'm not good with it. But I also don't like being on it. Like, I don't want... to like sit on my phone all day and constantly be talking to people, or sit on my computer and be like sending emails. It gets exhausting for me. I like to be away from the technology and kind of like read a book here and there. But I have a lot of messages. So if you are one of those people that has reached one of those many dozens at this point. People that have reached out to me and I have not gotten back to you, please don't take that personally. I'm not avoiding you or ignoring you. I am just busy. And what little time I have on the cell phone, like I have a lot of people that like message me and they'll like send me articles and stuff for me to read. And I appreciate it because I know that you're trying to give me like a good recommendation of something I'll probably like. I do appreciate that. But no, if you're a person that does that kind of like frequently, you're like, you go to like bottom priority on my message list because I get so many of those. I can only read them so often. So it's kind of like it takes the absolute background for me. Just wanted to address that because I have a lot of people that have been reaching out. No, Occupied is not out yet. The Occupied film will be coming out this Sunday, the 24th. Very excited for that film. Definitely recommend that if you guys watch it, share it with your friends and family. That's the important piece. Specifically, those around you who don't know about this yet. That's the important piece. We have to be spreading this to people who are unaware of it, not people that already know about it. Michael Borumen? No, I don't know who that is. No idea who this is. Mana Ray. Man Ray? Satanic Jewish painter, huh? Like openly satanic, or? Am I featured in Occupied? I actually don't know. That's a good question. Guess we'll have to find out. I know Arthur Quan Lee is in one of the trailers of Occupied. There's a couple other people in there that I'm familiar with. Ken O'Keefe was in it. I might be. I don't know. We'll see. I might be. I genuinely have no idea. Be nice if I was. I've had some... I'm sure there's something I've said that is unique enough to throw in there. All right, I got to slow down. I got like 10 tabs of different Jews here now. We're going down the rabbit hole again. I saved it, Pavlov. I bookmarked it. So, to kind of wrap back a little bit, and then we can close the topic of art. Maybe we'll just kind of hang out and chat. If you guys want to bring up any topics or thoughts in the chat rooms, we'll address some of those. But to kind of wrap it back to the initial point at hand that we were discussing. Art is important, and obviously there's not a lot of very unique art being produced by our people right now. Even, again, in the realm of philosophy, you know, name a modern philosopher. Name, like, a really solid modern philosopher. Can anybody name, like, this is a real question. Can anybody name a living, in our society, a European, white philosopher? Can anybody name, like, a modern philosopher that's actually good? And it is cultured, like, they know the ancient philosophies and the, you know, the closer philosophies as well. Like, I can't think of any. Zaruk, again, it's this Sunday. Occupied comes out this Sunday. David Lane was one? Yeah, I think... I don't think I would call David Lane a philosopher, personally. Stephen... Molyneux? You guys are just trying to give me, like, difficult fucking names at this point. There's no way I'm pronouncing that thing. I don't know who this is. Roger Scruton. I don't know who that is either. Maybe I just don't know of any good philosophers, huh? Is that a troll? You gotta be trolling me with that. This guy writes books about sexuality and religion. He wrote a book called Sexual Desire. I'm not convinced. Oh my god. See, that's the problem. There's no solid philosophers that aren't fucking, like, they haven't been subverted by this system into, like, faggots or retards. It's such a shame. Ron McVan? Or McVaughn? I'm not familiar with him. I thought Ben Klassen was pretty good, actually. He did some pretty good stuff. I think that's the problem. You know, you'll get philosophers in the modern age that might write, you know, one good work or have one good take. And then they write another work, or they have a different take that's so bad that it refutes the actual good take that was original, right? That's kind of the problem I have with these things. No, Krangs, I have a lot to learn in the realm of philosophy. I certainly don't know enough yet. I'm definitely planning on I will write a philosophical work in my lifetime. I did see, unfortunately, about Ursula Haverbeck today. She passed away, for those that are not familiar. Rest in peace, you know. Definitely a fighter. Absolutely a warrior for the cause. It's a shame to see her go. Yeah, there are very few good modern philosophers. I don't think they exist. I really don't. Yeah, again, he passed away, but you're right. Ted Kaczynski, he had some pretty solid philosophy. I would actually call him a philosopher. He never, unfortunately, because of his whole, you know, situation and the events going on at the time, he was never, I don't think he had enough time to kind of, like, develop into a serious philosopher. But I think he would have been a really good philosopher if he dedicated himself to philosophy rather than just, you know, his one specific idea. Because that's the thing, he kind of pigeonholed himself into one specific idea. You can't do that, especially not in the realm of philosophy. That's why Nietzsche was really fantastic, right? Because his dedication was to essentially reevaluating the system of values that we've incorporated under Christianity. That was his main goal with philosophy. But at the same time, he didn't pigeonhole himself to that. He would go into a lot of different areas, and there are many times he would wrap it back to that, right? And he would bring that back into the foreground. But for the most part, he was very, you know, ambiguous. There was a lot of different categories and topics that he was constantly exploring. So a true and a good philosopher can branch into a lot of different areas, and there isn't inconsistencies amongst their views, because that's a really big problem. Prussian Socialism Podcast. Where can I find that? That sounds interesting. All right, Mike, let's relax on the mushrooms today, man. Relax, we're good. Actually, he would be a good example. I think William Luther Pierce, I would consider a philosopher. I consider Hitler a very solid philosopher. And again, philosophy is an art. Philosophy is a very important art. Yeah, Pierce did die in 2002. Hitler was not a follower of Crowley. There's too many people that are so subverted on the topic of Hitler. It's insane. It's so crazy. It really is the biggest psychological minefield. There are very few people that truly understand the reality of Hitler. That's something that really needs to be broken down and fixed. That's the first thing that needs to be done with these fucking Jews, man. When they get out of power and have their control over the media, that's the first thing that has to happen. This guy needs to be venerated, and retarded shit like we're seeing in the Rumble chat needs to go. That's a big problem. Very big problem. Yeah, it's a shame that William Luther Pierce passed away. He would have been great to have... As the times are unfolding and people are waking up to these things, imagine William Luther Pierce like in a Twitter space. That would be something to behold. Yeah, I'm sorry. You could just like state I'm wrong, but you are wrong, my friend. Hitler was not a Satanist, nor was he Jewish. These are all like heavily debunked, very retarded psyops that are provided by Jews. School of Fish, I have not read that. I'll have to give that a shot sometime. I don't know who Matt Eret or Eret. I don't know who that is. You guys are giving me like horrible names today. Like the amount of unpronounceable names that I've received in the chat today is insane. Yeah, Wickstrom was impressive. I wouldn't consider him a philosopher either, no. Maybe you could have called Wickstrom like a theologian. Yeah, white on white. You see this a lot, actually. This is a rhetoric that flies around on Twitter as well. And, you know... It's hard to blame people because they're constantly being influenced by figures like Alex Jones and, you know, all these other quote-unquote alternative people who purport to be against the system. The field that they always have to push is that Hitler evil, right? That's the one thing that always has to remain consistent in the narrative. And that in itself should be proof enough to you without having to do the research, but clearly people also don't do the research either. But the fact that, you know, everybody in the world that is a piece of fucking human garbage tells you that Hitler was evil, like, that should be proof enough. I don't know what more people really need than that. But if you need more, like, just go read everything the guy said, and it's very clear. It's like, there's no argument on these things. That's a good point. Long Knife says, you could say Hitler was anything without being censored, including Jewish, drug addict, gay. The only thing you can't say about him is that he was right. It's very true. Yeah, people have to understand that this piece on Hitler, when you thoroughly read his speeches, when you thoroughly read his philosophy, because he was absolutely a philosopher, and when you thoroughly read Mein Kampf, this is a set blueprint as a reaction to the Jewish problem. This is a set blueprint of how to fix your country and how to solve the Jewish problem. It fixes all of these things if done correctly. It's literally the blueprint. That's why you're supposed to hate him. That's why everybody's supposed to ignore this guy and discredit him as crazy or a Satanist or a faggot or one testicle or a druggie. Anything that they can possibly label him as to discredit him rather than actually refute the views, because it's not possible to refute the views. So they have to just discredit the guy. And like the fact that people don't see this, you can see this with regular mainstream figures that are far less important, like Kanye and all these other people that have been smeared as psychopaths and all these things that we know aren't true. So, like, why people in their head somehow think it was different with Hitler is beyond me. I can't wrap my mind around that piece. I do not know who Mari Emanuel is, no. Can I do a show teaching people how to plant seeds or red pill people, especially on the Israel is the chosen bullcrap, Palestine, Jewish problem, etc. I am terrible at debating people. Yeah, I could do that. I could do it like more concise, because I have talked about that many times in many different shows and areas, but I could do something a little more concise on that, yeah. Yeah, Redmead, you're very correct. So this is exactly the point here, is that there's only one really solid solution post-industrial revolution to the Jewish problem, and that is just literally it's just National Socialism. Like there's nothing more to even say. It's just a philosophical state form that. It doesn't only solve it solves every problem. It's not just the Jewish problem that's being solved. And it solves the Jewish problem in the most natural and easy sense possible, where you're just racially conscious and don't let these people take advantage of you. No one has to be fucking mass murdered or killed or any of this bullshit that they try to spew, which again is just used to discredit the guy. Like, read their works. Their answer for a final solution was have the Jews actually have their own home state and they can go live National Socialist, but they don't want to live like that. So they scream persecution and cry about, you know, murder and all these things, because they don't want to live and have a productive blood and soil civilization like every other group of people. They want to play by different rules. All right, that's the last person I'm looking up. I will look up Mari Emanuel. I have like 30 tabs open of people that I'm supposed to look up now, so hold on. Let me look him up. I can't take any more. Okay, I'm familiar with this guy. Yeah. Didn't he get, like, stabbed in the face or something? What is a born-again Zionist? What the hell does that mean? Is that a person that is Christian and I don't know what I don't know what born again Zionist means. It is politically prescribed natural law. Yeah, I'd agree with that entirely. Yeah, we have to sharpen our ability to debate people on these topics and discuss against these things. It's very important. Strathmore with a $5 super chat over on FTJ. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. With no message behind it, but thank you so much. I'm dropping frames on my OBS pretty bad right now. I do apologize I don't know if the streams are taking a hit from that. Just recently, I dropped quite a few frames here. Yeah, Cadriano was good. He's got some good quotes. All right, folks. I think I might close up a little early. My lip is killing. It literally hurts to talk. It's kind of driving me nuts. That's why I'm not as energetic as I would typically be. If I talk too much, it's like it seems to be a pulling. It's not comfortable. White on white, you can't seem to super chat. I don't know why that would be. You could try a different platform. There's a lot of different options. I'm sure you could find something that'll work. If it's not working on Odyssey, you can also do a super chat on Rumble. We have Entropy as well. Yeah, Entropy. Yeah, it's the only other one. FTJ. I'm sorry. See, I'm brain dead. FTJ Media. You can super chat on there as well. I actually highly recommend if you guys want to super chat. FTJ Media is a really good place to do it. They have the lowest processor fees. The lowest processor fees. That's really important. So, you know, Rumble, they take 20%. Odyssey takes 8.5%. FTJ Media takes 3%. That's it. And that's because they literally, like, they have to. It's the processor fee. It's not actually them taking money, like the owner of the site. White on White with a $5 super chat. You got to figure it out, my friend. He says, hail victory, hail 88. Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate that. And I agree. I know a lot of people talk up this whole Yandex thing. I've tried Yandex. I didn't really like it when I tried it, though. I don't know. Maybe I'm just stupid. All right, folks, I think we're going to call it tonight. I'm going to get a little bit of rest here. I'm actually probably going to take like a nap soon. My sleep schedule is terrible. I've been waking up at like, I don't even want to say. That's how bad it is. I don't even want to say. So we're going to be live on Friday. I'll be live at 1 p.m. Eastern with G-Man. We're going to be doing our co-hosted show, our weekly Perfect Triangle. And I will be live on Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern after with a I'll be on Red Ice TV. So I'll post that up on Twitter if you guys want to watch in case you don't already follow them and watch their show regularly. If you just specifically want to see me go on there, I will make sure to link that on Twitter so you guys can find that and tune in. It's going to be a very good show. I have high anticipations for that show. They set a very good bar over there from what I've seen. So thank you guys again for watching. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you for all the super chats today, all of the regular chats. I do appreciate you folks. So I will be live two times Friday, and I might do a show on Saturday with like a call-in or something like that. I'm not 100% sure yet. So stay tuned. Keep your eyes open for that. It might happen. No promises, though. No promises. All right. Thank you again, folks. See you Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern, and then again at 5. Okay? Have a good night. Enjoy the rest of your week. And don't forget, Stu Peters' Occupied documentary comes out this Sunday. All right. Talk to you guys soon. Have a good one, folks.